What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Nets just got word that they will be without KD for at least two games with a mild hamstring strain. But since acquiring James Harden, the Nets offense really has been unstoppable. They put up 137 points in a blowout against the Warriors on Saturday, with Harden finishing with 16 assists. And after the game, Kyrie said he has spoken to Harden about their roles, saying, quote, "I just looked at him and I said, you're the point guard and I'm going to play shooting guard. It was as simple as that." So, Shannon, what do you make of Kyrie saying this publicly?
Kyrie's trying to take credit for a decision that had already been made, Skip. Since Harden's got there, he's been the point guard, considering that when he actually started playing, Kyrie was out. Mm. He's a natural. James Harden is a better fitted point guard than Kyrie.
Agreed.
Kyrie is a lot like a lot of these guys that have point guard at the end of their name, but they're masquerading. Mm-hmm. They're actually two guards.
Yep.
And if you look at it, Skip, when they're on the court together, James Harden averaged double the amount of assists, taking half the shots, which tells you what Kyrie actually truly is. He's a two. Mm. See, Kyrie likes to take credit, because this is what's going to happen, Skip. They win the title, Kyrie going to come out and say, yeah, KD and Harden and I, we got together and say, this is how we should play the offense. He going to leave Steve Nash out. Remember, Skip, they ain't need no head coach.
Well, that's what he said. That's what Kyrie said.
Yes.
We do not need a head
coach. So that's his way of saying, you know what, hey, you know, we running this show over here. I just looked at James and James. You're going to play the point guard. You know, no matter what they tell you, I'm telling you, you playing point guard, I'm going to be the two. Skip, bruh, just play basketball, Kyrie. Mm-hmm. We know you're two. You're an outstanding, you're a phenomenal player. Mm-hmm. But you cannot run an offense like James Harden can. He's never averaged more than seven assists in a season. James Harden has led the league in assists. He's going to run away with it. I would not be surprised if James Harden averaged 12 assists.
Yep.
He's at 11, a little over 11 now. I wouldn't be surprised if he averaged 12 assists.
Agreed.
He's that good.
Mm-hmm.
But to know that the guy once had, what, a 60-point triple-double? Think about it, Skip. You scored that many points, and you somehow still find a way to dish out double-digit assists?
Mm-hmm.
That lets you know how special of a talent James Harden is. But, Kyrie, you didn't have to say this. Bruh, stop trying to take credit for everything good that's in Brooklyn. Okay, maybe you did run. Maybe you are the reason that KD signed. Mm-hmm. You say you going to, hey, let's be this package. They got two max slots. I get that. But every decision that comes out of Brooklyn is good. It's not yours, bruh.
Mm. Mm. So, clearly, Kyrie Irving needed to tell the world that he is the primary decision maker for the Brooklyn Nets and that he announced to James, you be the point guard.
Nobody asked you that.
Nobody asked. They have played together now 11 games.
Right.
And it took you 11 games to figure out what was happening right before your very eyes from game one on?
He had the ball.
He had the ball. He dribbled the ball up the floor almost every time.
Almost every time.
And it works on offense.
Yes.
Right? So, Kyrie still scares me. I like this team a lot. I like it on defense more than you do. I'll get to that in a second. But Kyrie still scares me because his whole ego and focus is just a little out of whack, and it could be the undoing of this team on both ends of the floor. Because the weak link on defense, to me, on a nightly basis, is often Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
He just doesn't care about playing defense. He cares about creating on offense. He calls himself an artist.
Yes.
And he certainly can be.
He can paint on offense.
Oh, can he? Nobody has better handles.
No.
Nobody can create shots underneath like this young man can. I was going to call him a kid. He still acts like a kid on occasion. Mm-hmm. But the point is that he wants to run the show literally as an executive and a player,
yeah.
like I'm in charge of the whole franchise, you're the point guard.
Right.
No, that Steve Nash already told him he's the point guard, and you went along with that. You could see it happening. You're
right.
You get it.
Right.
Okay. So the point is that if you look at usage rate so far, it is really working at the highest level because usage rate, this is how much you have the ball in your hand. What percentage of the offense is the ball in your hands? Well, if you look, Luka's number one and Bradley Beal's number two and Trae Young's number three. No surprise there. But guess who's tied all the way down at 19th in usage rate? James Harden and Kevin Durant.
Right.
Okay, that'll work because that shows you that James isn't dribble. Because a lot of times he's going to lead the league in usage rate.
And Kevin Durant was never going to be up there because KD don't need the ball to get – he don't need to have the ball. Just throw it to him and he'll shoot it from 30 and get you.
And down at 28th in usage rate is Kyrie Irving, and that's good because he's a two. Like you said, he's camouflaged as a point. He calls himself a point till he finally conceded you're the point guard. But he's a great two because he can run around, get his shots.
Yes.
And James is really good at trying to get them their spots.
Right.
Get them the ball.
And plus, James is bigger, Skip. He can just see over the defense.
He can. He's 6'5".
Yeah.
He doesn't look 6'5", but he's a full 6'5".
And Look, James Harden is an elite scorer. There haven't been very many guys that can score the basketball. But I don't know if there's ever been a guy that can score the basketball that can also run an offense like he can.
I'm not sure there's ever been. I agree. That combination is at the highest level. Because he is capable of getting you 60 if you need him to. Like Nash said after the game the other night, his playmaking is what makes our team improve the most.
Right.
He talked about... Yeah, we want him to be aggressive and score the ball and shoot the ball. But the special part of what he brings to our team is his playmaking.
Yes.
Well, it is.
It is.
That does allow us all to fit together. Well, if you didn't have that, you'd have trouble. That's what everybody thought. One basketball for three guys. No, he's the distributor of the basketball.
And he's clearly okay with not taking his customary 22, 23 shots a game. He's like, I get everybody involved. I'm going to get mine. Because he's still, you can't stop that step back. You just hope he misses it. He still can slither his way to the basket.
He can.
And he go to the free throw line, he's going to make 85, 88% of those shots. So he still can get buckets if that's what he needs.
Yep.
But he says right now what this team needs from me is playmaking. Not so much shot making, but playmaking. Let Kyrie dance. Let KD. Let these other guys. Let me find Joe Harris wide open when they try to double KD or try to take Kyrie away. And Joe Harris is getting wide open, uncontested look. Or he's finding guys at the rim for easy dunks.
Yep. So already James Harden is averaging 11.2 assists. And with the Nets, it's 11.6. So to your point, it's going up. But he's running away with the assist title because all the way down at 9.4 are Luka and Trae.
Right.
So 11.2 to 9.4.
He's going
to
be 12, Skip. He's going to have numbers like Stockton and Magic Johnson, all those old school point guards that were true point guards, Skip. He's about to have numbers like that. And I didn't think we'll ever see numbers like that again in this NBA because guys are so conscious. Now, Skip, people don't give you credit. If you're not putting the ball in the bucket, because everybody talking about putting the ball in the bucket, and so you're not getting the credit. Stockton got credit for being a pure point guard. Magic got credit. Isaiah got credit for being pure point guard. In today's game, Skip, Isaiah once averaged, I think, like 13 assists a season.
Yeah, but he still had a lot of
Skip, we point guards that can handle the rock like he could.
Yep.
So he was Kyrie before Kyrie.
He was. I'll buy that.
Rod Strickland, all those guys that had to handle behind the back, all between the legs.
And remember, Kyrie is undersized. He's only like 6'2".
6'2", yes.
Okay.
Just like Isaiah 6'1". But the kiss off the glass, to be able to either hand, that's what Kyrie can do. Kyrie is a shot maker.
Yep.
So from three, Skip, mid-range, as you mentioned, free throw. He's leading the league in free throw. I think like 94, 95%. He's special.
Very special.
But you're not the exact. You're not Sean Marks.
Nope. But he'd like to think he is. He's both Marks and Nash all in one. He wants to wear both those hats and tell James, you be the point guard.
Skip, I looked the deer in his eye. I said, you the point guard.
It is. It's James, funny.
James, like, hell, I've been a point guard since I've been here, but thanks for telling me that. Relayed that to me, bro.
All right, last quick point. I still say this team, when it decides to, can play defense better than you give it credit for. Because against Indiana the other night, I'm going back two games, played defense, held them under 100. against Golden State at Golden State, at least in the first half, they just clamped down and said, no, we'll do it for a half until we pull away.
Skip, the thing with Golden State is predicated on Steph making shots. If he can get you 40, they're going to be in every game.
Yep.
But when he struggles, because I can't count on consistently Kelly Oubre. He might give me 40, but he might give me 6.
He might.
Andrew Wiggins has been a little better, a little more consistent. He'd give me somewhere between 15 and 20.
Yep.
Draymond is going to be Draymond. He'd give me 6, 12, and 8.
You're right. It's all about Steph.
It's all about Steph.
Did you hear? No, you don't have the sound up. You know, I just for your edification, I want to provide some sound from the ABC telecast on Saturday night. From Jeff Van Gundy at the end of the first half, this is what he said.
But I'll tell you, Mike, what's more impressive tonight so far is their defense. You know, they've held this Warrior team, who has been playing exceptionally well offensively. They've done a tremendous job.
Huh. So even the great Jeff Van Gundy said, Brooklyn, the Nets have done a great job through the first half at Golden State.
Exactly. But he said that's what's been impressive. So he knows, Skip, their offense is their defense because they stress you so much offensively. You know they get into 120, 130. Mm-hmm. Can you?
Yep. And in the second half, they sort of took their foot off the gas. And they don't care.
It was over.
They have to care about it. But when they decide to, they can play, I'm not going to say great defense, they can play good enough defense to win the East.
But the thing is, they're gonna catch the Dickens dealing with Embiid. Because Embiid might average 40 and 25.
Well.
Because they got no answer for Embiid.
Okay,
He'll load.
DeAndre's going to have to take something. He's going to have to try. But I don't think anybody can stop Joel.
That's the way you're playing right now, Skip. Well, you're on another planet now.
Okay, well, that's why I told you, so far, I have him as my MVP. Now, they're on a West Coast swing. It's going to get tougher and tougher here. So let's see how they hold
up. They got to have to win some of these games. They can't go 0-for, Skip.
No, they can't. But I still say, he is a force and a beast, and he's playing better than I've ever seen him on both ends.
Yeah, it seems like he's gotten in shape, Skip. He's taking it serious. His conditioning seems to be right, and that's the thing. No, Skip, nobody doubted his ability. I mean, you 7'2", can shoot the ball like he can shoot it from the three, from the mid-range.
And 80%. From the free throw line.
Nobody doubted his ability. They doubted the seriousness of him taking the game. Are you serious about this? Do you realize, that's what Shaq used to get on him about, bro, do you realize how special you can be?
Yep.
7'2", 285 with skills like that?
Yep.
Seems to have taken it serious now.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me, that's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. No mercy.
Black History Month is a perfect time to reflect on all of our black heroes. To change the world, you must first change your world. And no one has changed my world more than my father, Charles Vernon Wiley, a man who has seen a lot of change in this world, from a childhood in a segregated South in the 1940s to present day as a recent retiree after 45 years of service. No matter what would occur over the years, my father would highlight what should always stay the same, which is to focus on family as your foundation. In a world seeking to invent newer products and better things, it's important to recognize those who are simply committed to producing better people. Salute to my hero that showed me that more action comes with less words, and for highlighting the most powerful creator of change in this world, the foundation of it all that produces people of character, the family. Salute, Pop Duke.
Seven-game win streak was snapped last night in Denver, but really a scary moment came late in the first half when Anthony Davis aggravated an Achilles injury and did not return. The initial diagnosis was a right Achilles strain, but the team says he'll get an MRI this morning. AD sounded optimistic after the game, but added, quote, "I don't want to mess around with this type of injury." Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard is joining us now. Chris, great to see you. How concerned, though, should the Lakers be about AD here?
Well, I mean, let me start, I guess, Jim, with the good news is that, you know, Anthony said that after yesterday's game, the doctors told him structurally everything looked fine. And they're doing the MRI today just out of caution. And we'll see if it's anything worse. But as long as it's just a strain and they think it's fine, you're concerned, but you don't have to take it to the, you know, to 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. Obviously, if it's anything serious, I mean, it would be virtually a death knell for the Lakers' championship chances. I give them a small, very small chance if something was really wrong with AD. But they have to take their time with this injury. You don't want it to get serious. And I would let him sit out as long as it takes, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is, for him to get the soreness out of that Achilles. Because they can't win the championship, or they have a very small chance of winning it if AD isn't healthy or is really out. The interesting thing is this is a continuation of what's been a really disappointing individual season for AD, in my view. I expected him to come off of this championship last year to really have more confidence and to take it to another level. I actually thought there would be a natural passing of the torch on the Lakers from LeBron to AD, and AD would be in the MVP conversation. But instead, his scoring is down, his rebounding is down, his block shots are down. And here's the most interesting thing, his free throw percentage. He's a career 80% foul shooter. He's shooting 71% from the line, and he's getting there a lot less than he used to. So it's weird what is going on with AD. I don't know how to describe it. And from the eye test, when I look at the games, I think he's playing really well defensively. But then the numbers analytically show you that the Lakers actually have been better with him off the court than with him on the court. Now, I'm not suggesting they're better defensively without him, but that's just a strange thing. Maybe he's not playing quite as good defensively as I thought. But I think AD, in this time that he is, you know, resting his Achilles, he needs to think about why he hasn't been the player he was last season this year for the Lakers, and I think he needs to come back when he gets healthy and be more aggressive.
I agree, Chris. I think if you look at it, if you give him 2 weeks, Skip, that'll take him to the All-Star game. You get that week off. So you're looking at 3 weeks. If he takes 3 weeks off to try to get as much soreness, because this is something that he dealt with in the finals. You remember, was that game five, he injured on that Friday night, Skip, I think. Yep. That great game between Jimmy Butler and LeBron going back and forth. He kind of injured it, and it kind of lingered. And having a shortened season, it probably lingered into it. But I agree with you, Chris. They're not winning the championship. And LeBron, I don't know if LeBron can play the amount of minutes that it would take for him to drag them out of the West. He would have to go back to play those 42 and 43 minutes. He can't play that. He can't sustain 42, 43 minutes anymore. Maybe for one or two games. But to ask him to do that, you know, like those overtime games, Skip, nah, I don't believe he can do that and today. So I would take 2 weeks, knowing that's going to lead me into the All-Star break. That'll give me another week. That'll be 3 weeks and give me a full opportunity to get this thing healthy, Skip. Mm. Because if you bring him back, and then guess what? He plays two or three games. He got to sit another week, plays two or three games. What are you actually accomplishing? Mm. You might as well just let him sit out, get it as healthy, as close to 100% as you possibly can, and bring him back. But then it might be something, Chris, he has to deal with, because he said Friday was the best he had felt in a very long time. And it was just one little step that caused the flare-up, and here we go now, and we're getting the MRI today to see the extent of it.
Mm. Okay, my turn. I have observed, tried to study Achilles tendon injuries for years and years. I've talked to so many doctors. I have doctor friends. It's the most mysterious rupture in all of sports when you tear your Achilles tendon. But what my experience is that pain is a good sign with the Achilles tendon. He's having acute pain because he's got tendonitis that's led to tendinosis. And I know it gets complicated. They're trying to say tendinosis. I kept hearing this about Kawhi 3 years ago in San Antonio. He's got tendinosis. Tendinosis. Okay. Yeah, and that means what? It means he just wants out.
AD wants out?
Yeah. No, he obviously doesn't want out. But I'm here to tell you there's very little cause for concern, because the sheath that goes up and down the tendon, it moves inside the sheath. It's just inflamed. Yeah. And once it gets inflamed, it just hurts like unholy hell.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get out of bed in the morning, but usually it will respond to ice, and it will respond to some kind of orthotic in your shoe, because you have to bump it up, make it lift up higher, because somehow your feet are out of balance a little bit, where it's getting too much strain when you push back off it. It's stretching farther than the other is, and it's gotten out of control, inflamed. And when he went to push off on that move down the baseline, it got inflamed again. Well, okay, 2 weeks is fine, but I would say in 1 week, it will start to feel immensely better, because he said last night it felt like it was 100%, but then he tried to push hard on it, and here it goes again.
Right.
So maybe you need to make sure that you get all the inflammation out of it.
Right.
But in the end, the ones that come out of nowhere are the ones when you have no pain, you have no warning whatsoever, and all of a sudden your Achilles ruptures because somehow the tendon was compromised and you did not know it. Because when it's compromised, it does not hurt.
Right.
It's somehow frayed. It's got micro tears in it. And once it frays and you don't have any pain, all of a sudden, all you have to do is just step sideways, and it just ruptures for no apparent reason.
You can tell it's really sore, Skip, because you're walking like you got a club foot.
That's
when you get out of bed, I don't know if you ever had Achilles problems, Chris, but that's how you walk first thing in the morning. That thing's so painful.
Yeah.
You walk with your whole foot.
But he could walk.
Right.
He left under his own power. That's when I thought, well, there's no way it just ruptured.
Right.
I mean, that's the worst thing that could happen. So I still think it's not DEFCON 1 stage. It's just something that's going to irritate and annoy him for a while.
Right.
And you just need to lay off it and ice it and treat it. And obviously, any kind of anti-inflammatory will take the inflammation out of it.
But they need him.
Can you play through that, Skip?
No.
Can he? I mean, Mm-mm. Let's say he comes back after the All-Star game and is sore. Mm-mm. Like, you wouldn't try to play through that, Mm-mm. right?
He ain't playing through that.
Although sometimes, and I can only answer that from running, because you get it a lot when you're distance running. Mm-hmm. You can trot through it. You can't run through it, but you can kind of trot through it. And then it becomes a matter of your personal pain threshold, because it's not going to get any worse, but it's not going to get any better either.
But here's the problem that you run in when you start doing that. You start changing your normal gait.
You do.
And you start hurting other things.
Your opposite knee.
Exactly. It's just like if you have a flat tire. You can drive around on your flat tire, but you're going to end up messing your rear end or your front end up. You're going to mess up your axles. You're going to end up messing up something else. So, no, I wouldn't recommend it. And I've had it. He ain't playing through that. Mm. Not all that jumping and running and sprinting he got to do. Mm. No siree.
Okay. So what's going to happen to them if he takes off 2 weeks and then
James, go show you why Chris Broussard got him at the top of his list on the MVP.
Wait, do you still, Chris? Do you?
I do right now.
You do?
Here's why. I've got him slightly ahead of Joel Embiid. And hear me out. Obviously, Embiid's playing great. But Embiid's already missed 5 games, okay, out of 27. That's not a ton, but over 82 games, on an 82-game schedule, he would be on pace. He's on pace to play like 67 games. Nobody this century and really within like the last 40, 50 years has won the MVP. Bill Walton was the last one in the full season or close to it who didn't play, you know, that many games. So Allen Iverson played 71 games in 2001. Since Walton in 1977, I think, when he played 58 games out of 82, that's the last time a guy played so few games and won MVP, you know, in a what wasn't a lockout shortened season, or even last year with the break that they had before the bubble. Obviously, they're not playing 82 games. So I think Embiid has to play maybe 60 of 72, something like that. So he could miss too many games for me and maybe some other voters to give him the MVP. So right now, with LeBron playing every game, I think that that's part of the equation for him being MVP. I will say this. If Davis has to miss, you know, a suspended time, LeBron should not overextend himself, like Shannon was saying, to try to keep the one seed. Because of a few reasons. One, we don't know what fans are going to be like, you know, come playoff time. Will it be half full, packed, 2,000 fans, no fans? So the Lakers shouldn't be concerned about that. Secondly, if they play a team like the Clippers in the conference finals, you're playing in your home building where you're comfortable. And if there are fans, it's going to be more Laker fans than Clipper fans. And then three, the Lakers are the best team in the league on the road. They've actually been better on the road than at home. So I would not overextend LeBron to try to keep that one seed if AD has to miss big time.
Okay, let's go back to your MVP case for LeBron James. What am I supposed to do with the fact that he's second in the NBA in turnovers? That bothers me.
Nothing.
I mean, Magic, Isaiah, they were high in turnovers. You know, James Harden, a lot of times.
So what am I supposed to do with this, Chris?
You're high.
After all the hoopla about, oh, my God, LeBron James has turned into a three-point sniper.
Didn't nobody say that.
Everybody did. Oh, my God, the league is in trouble. You realize once he hit the month of February, he's played 7 games. He shot 28% from 3 and fallen all the way down to 38% for the season so far.
We shoot 38. We're going to be all right.
38 ranks 90th in the NBA.
Right. Take 38.
In the month of February, LeBron is now tied for 170th in three-point shooting.
You put a black cat on him. You've been talking about it. You've been going down, sticking pins in the LeBron dog.
He is what he always was. He's a streak shooter from three. He rides the roller coaster. He gets hot. He goes really hot, cold. And it's just who he is. He'll fall back toward the mean, which is 34%.
Well, watch this Superman rise. Okay. Watch this what we do on tomorrow night.
But he takes too many.
I think he'll get hot again. You're right. Nobody's going to sit here and say he's a great three-point shooter. Right. But I think, you said, it'll ebb and flow. He'll get streaky again. And I would be shocked if he falls all the way to 34%.
I think
he's going to stay around 36, 37%. But I wouldn't be shocked if he stays around 37.
We got a couple of cases.
Yeah, we got a couple of cases on 38%, so you better hang tough on that one.
We got this.
Because he is taking more threes than he has in his career, so that's a little scary because we saw last night he was just clanking them from everywhere.
Okay, but you didn't say that the other night. When he hit that one, you see he hit right before the end of the third, hit that one. And what about that one that he hit to send the game to overtime? He didn't mention that one, did he, Chris?
That was rare.
That's rare.
Yeah.
Hold on. That team that he said it was rare against, they beat the brakes off of Giannis last night.
And by the way, in that same game in overtime, he had one jump shot to clinch it from like 15 or 18 feet, and he airballed it.
One shot. So you're going to talk about that. What about that steal?
That's why he made up for it with that defensive
play. That's what we
great
do.
Great defensive play.
What about 3 games ago when he airballed a free throw by a whole foot short
of the
rim?
Did we win that game? I'm not seeing
MVP. Like we say, I thought he should be MVP last year. I am not seeing it this year.
We put an Ed Reed on him. We banned him to throw the ball to Al Horford and jetted it.
Oh, really?
Skip, is he in the running? I mean, I could see him coming back to the pack if they, you know, without AD, they start losing more games.
But I'm just saying,
right now, you have him, what, second or not even that close?
Do I have him second? I don't have him in the top five right now.
Look at his numbers, they're
all down. Last year, I said he should have won it. At the end, when the pandemic hit, I said he's leading.
Okay,
the MVP
so who your top five MVP?
Well, I don't want to.
You got Joel
right
Embiid.
Now. I got Embiid number one.
You got Kevin Durant number two, huh?
Well, if I don't want to do that, we don't have time to see LeBron's five misses. I gave you a break.
Chris,
now you're trying to change the subject.
Chris, let me tell you what he does. This is what he does. To diminish LeBron's case for MVP, he'll show an air ball. He'll show a missed free throw.
They happened. I didn't make them up.
So he's the only player that turned the ball. I just want to know, he's the only MVP candidate that's turned the ball over, that's airballed it. He's the only one.
Yeah. Listen, we're out of time, Rod. Show all five misses.
Is that how it works?
No, we put the rule in. No more blooper reels.
Really?
No.
Without AD, I think we're going blooper reels.
I don't think so.
No,
yeah.
No. No more blooper reels. I'm going to pull every other shot now of air balls. Guys, thank you for that. Chris, we appreciate you joining us.
No mercy.
LeBron James has broken countless NBA records over the course of a 17-year career. On Friday night, LeBron broke another record, except this time it wasn't the good kind. With his fourth turnover against the Grizzlies, LeBron broke Karl Malone's longstanding NBA record of 4,524 turnovers. Shannon, does this tarnish LeBron's GOAT case, in your opinion?
No, absolutely not. I mean, LeBron James has played a very long time. And he's played having the bar being the primary ball handler. And no player in the history of the game has carried the offensive burden that LeBron has, not only just scoring the basketball, but also facilitating the offense for others to get involved. And LeBron will try attempt passes that probably nobody else would have attempted. So, no, it does not tarnish it. He's a great passer. He has 4,000 more assists than Karl Malone. Skip, Karl Malone is a great player. But Karl Malone was never asked to do what LeBron James. John Stockton ran the offense. And what he did was Karl Malone filled the lane or got his butt down on the block. Well, LeBron James is actually running the offense. He's asked to do what John Stockton did for Malone. And then in the flip side, he's asked to do what Malone did, which was score the basketball. So, no, this does not in one iota diminish the GOAT James. Well, he's still the GOAT and going to be the GOAT.
Shannon, you got to face up to this. This is yet another final nail in your quote-unquote GOAT coffin that you try to build for LeBron James. Let's look hard at this. Let's go back to the real GOAT, the true GOAT, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. So LeBron has averaged over his career 3.5 turnovers a game.
Yeah.
Yet Jordan only averaged 2.7 turnovers a game.
But Jordan never had the ball in his hand.
Oh, timeout. Time out. Would you believe that Michael Jordan led the NBA in usage rate 8 times in 13 Bulls season? 8 times he had the ball in his hands more than anybody
He wasn't doing anything but dribbling and shooting.
Oh.
How many times?
Is it in his hands? Yes.
How many times did he lead the league in assists?
Okay. Well, the point is, he's got the ball in his hands, and it's capable of, you can knock it out of his hands. You could turn it over. And yet LeBron has led the league in usage rate 1 time in 17 seasons. So 8 versus 1. And by the way, if you look at LeBron's highest usage rate, mm-hmm. it only ranks sixth on Michael's usage yeah. rates. So, wow, wait a second. So Jordan had the ball in his hands way more than LeBron, but LeBron is turning it over at a record rate.
Let me ask you a question. How many times did Jordan lead his team in assists?
Well, he still averaged a lot of assists for what he was doing. Well, wait a second. Michael Jordan led the league in scoring 10 times to LeBron's one time.
Skip.
10 times?
Jordan averaged 27 points, mm-hmm. 30 points a game. Mm-hmm. LeBron's at 27. Mm-hmm. But LeBron averages more rebounds and more assists. Mm. So, in other words, LeBron was asked to do more. LeBron, I need you to get me them 27, but I also need you to give me 8 assists. Mm. But while you're at it, can you grab 13 rebounds also? Mm. They didn't ask because, remember, he had Rodman to do all the rebounding. He had Scottie Pippen. In those championship years, Scottie Pippen led the team in assists. You do realize that, right?
Well, you do realize LeBron James, as we speak, is second in this league in turnovers. And on a nightly basis, I watch him, and they're so careless. He'll dribble it off his foot. He'll just throw it out of bounds. He tries things that are just careless attempts at a pass. And slowly but surely, it caught up with him. And now he set the all-time record. He set a lot of all-time
records. He's going to put it way out there. But I tell you what, another ring he's going to have, too. He's going to have all the points, too. Mm. He's going to have Kareem. And we're going to be sitting right back here in about 2.5 years. Yep. And I'll be sitting right across from you. And Skip, remember I told you what the day it is? February 15th at about 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Hey, Skip, remember I told you the LeBron James?
It's going to take
21 years. No, it's not. I bet you it don't take no 21 years. Yep. We're going to get this thing in 20. Mm. We're going to tie Kareem, and we're going to put it out there because we're going to play by 22, 23. Mm. We're going 40,000. Mm. 40,000, 10, and 10.
And it might take 40,000 more games than Michael Jordan played because that's the pace you're on right now.
It's not my fault. Mm. My guy takes care of himself. Yep. My guy sleeps in the hyperbaric chamber. My guy takes great care of himself. It's not my fault.
My guy did not turn the basketball over. Skip,
you know your guy wasn't asked to facilitate the offense like LeBron. Why you do that?
He averaged like 6 assists a game and could average 12 if he'd felt like it.
No, so LeBron could have averaged 35 points if he felt like it.
Well, could he?
Yeah, exactly. Could he?
Missing the free throws that he missed?
How many triple-doubles your guy got? My guy got almost 100. How many triple-doubles he got, Skip?
My guy's got 6 championships with 6 MVPs and no losses.
We about to be 5-5.
Period.
We about to be 5.
Yeah.
Then what you going to say?
What is it? It's going to be hashtag eyes on 5, right?
Eyes on 5. That's what the hashtag is. Eyes on 5. No mercy.